ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد my dear brothers and sisters the next tip on dawah is to follow the sunnah in dawah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example to be followed in every aspect of life where he said laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasana that for you the best example to follow is the example of my prophet muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who follow the uswa of rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam those who follow the sunnah of nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them to a status and gave that action of following his sunnah a status that he did not give to anything else where he said قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the status of following the sunnah, of doing the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave this a level and a status even higher than ibadah. So it's the finest and highest form of ibadah, inshallah. And that is that it's an ibadah which brings about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah will love that person. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّنَ اللَّهَ Say to those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فَاتَّبِعُونِي Make my ittiba يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ Allah will love you. Allah did not say do salah, establish salah and Allah will love you. Allah did not say fast in Ramadan and Allah will love you. All of these are good deeds, all of these are faraid, all of these are arkan of Islam, all of these must be done if you want to remain within Islam and inshallah al-musta'an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the best reward for all of these. But Allah did not say that He will love the one who does salah, who establishes salah, or that He will love the one who fasts. However, Allah will love him and He will fast him, and He will love him, and Allah will love the one who establishes salah and the one who fasts, because he is doing the ittiba of Rasulullah. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes for the reason you do that ibadah, not for the ibadah itself. So if you are doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say this is the and you say to yourself and this is the niyyah in your heart that this is the ittiba of Rasulullah then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come including the fact of course if you remember the fact that Rasulullah taught us how to do salah and he said follow me he said do this the way I am doing it sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli pray as you see me pray And therefore, the salah is the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do qiyam and we do ruku and we do sujood and all the parts of the salah. Why? Because this is how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. So, alhamdulillah, this is the importance and the value of following the sunnah. Now, therefore, how much more important is it to follow the sunnah in da'wah? So therefore, the most important thing is to understand that we follow the sunnah in da'wah because that is the best method for da'wah, for inviting towards Allah. Because no method can be better than the method of Rasulullah ﷺ and da'wah was his job. Now what was that method? The method was first to build a relationship and then to present Islam. This is what Nabi ﷺ did throughout his life. He built relationship with people and then he presented Islam. There was a boy, a young Jewish boy who used to hang out with him, who used to be around him and do his khidmat and so on and so forth. Nabi ﷺ didn't see him for some days. So he asked the people, he said, where is this boy? They said, Ya Rasulullah, he is very sick and it looks like he is in his last moments of life. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, take me to him. He went to his house and there he found the boy lying on the bed, extremely sick. And his father was the boy's father was standing on one side of the bed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went and sat on the other side of the bed. He took the boy's hand in his hand and he said, "Say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Accept Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala and accept me as the Nabi of Allah." The boy looked at his father. The father said, "Do what Abul Qasim is telling you to do. Do what Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling you to do." Who is saying this? The Jewish father of the Jewish boy is telling the Jewish boy to accept Islam moments before he passed away. The boy accepted Islam and then he died with his hand in the hand of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam
And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. How did this happen? Because of the love and the affection that the boy had for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because of the relationship that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam built with this boy. Another boy before that in Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got this boy as a slave, as a gift from his wife Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha. And the boy's name was Zayd bin Haritha. Now, Rasulullah ﷺ immediately manumitted him, he freed him from being a slave. And he then loved him and treated him and kept him with him. Some time passed, and after that the father and the uncle of the boy, who were looking for him because he had been kidnapped from somewhere else and sold as a slave. So the father and the uncle came looking for him, and somebody said to them that a boy of this description is with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, we have come to ask you to give us our son who is with you, and we are prepared to pay for him because we are told that he is your slave. So we are prepared to buy him back. So please tell us, how much money do you want? And we have the money, we can give it to you. Let us have our son back. Rasulullah ﷺ said, your son is not a slave. I freed him the moment he came to me. I don't want any money for him. I'm not going to sell him. But ask him, if he wants to go with you, he's free to go. But let us leave the decision to him. So they called the boy, and Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu came. Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, do you recognize these people? He said, yes, this is my father, this is my uncle. Nabi ﷺ said, they have come to take you with them. Would you like to go? Zayd bin Haritha said, I want to stay with you. I do not want to go. Nabi ﷺ was very happy. The father and the uncle also accepted this decision. They went back. Nabi ﷺ took Zayd bin Haritha with him into the haram and declared him as his own son. He adopted him and declared him as his own son, and he said, from today he will be called Zayd bin Muhammad. Later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone to Makkah, to Medina, and that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there is nobody, that a person cannot adopt someone and give them their name, and the paternity of the child will always be will be respected, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the father of any man, and therefore that adoption was annulled. But the point here is that how did this happen? How did this change of heart happen? Because of the relationship that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam built with Zayd bin Haritha radhiyallahu anhu. So now, the first principle of dawah therefore is to build a relationship and then to present Islam. Present Islam through akhlaq. I'm not saying don't speak about Islam. Of course you should speak about Islam. But people seeing is believing. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. So make sure that there's no gap between talk and walk, because credibility drops through the gap between talk and walk. Show Islam through your akhlaq. Demonstrate Islam in your akhlaq, in your ma'amilat, in your dealings with people, in your manners, in the way you talk and walk and deal with people and so on. And then people will be inquisitive about Islam. They will ask questions. So therefore then present Islam. I said yesterday that also use the Quranic terminology. Actually recite the ayat of the Quran. Again, to raise questions in the minds of people so that they will ask the questions, and through that you can give answers. Do not debate with anybody in public. In private it's fine. If somebody asks you a question, it's absolutely fine and you should answer that question. It's also fine to present others' arguments and questions yourself and to answer them in the Quranic context. So it's okay to say that some people believe such and such, and this belief is, the Islamic belief is this, which contradicts that belief. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentioned in the Quran the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salam and Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they say that Isa is my son, is the son of Allah, because he has no father, but Adam alayhi salam has neither father nor mother. So here is an argument that is being presented, and the argument is being countered with fact. So this is fine. And so also it is fine to debate with or talk to somebody on a personal basis. But never do it in public, because in the public, to debate with people and to humiliate them, this is not from Islam. This is not from Islam. That is also something which is not the Sunnah. Rasulullah ﷺ never debated publicly. He never humiliated anybody publicly. There were enough and more people for him to debate with if he had wanted to. He could have humiliated all of them, but he did neither of that. And therefore, you should also not do it. Also, psychologically speaking, it's a very stupid thing to do, because instead of drawing people to you, it alienates them. If you debate with somebody, with a leader of another community, and if you humiliate that person in public through your debating skills, then all that happens is that people of that community will hate you. It is not that they will all come around to you, and it's not that they will all become your followers. They will hate you for humiliating their leader in public. So it's a very, very inadvisable and very ridiculous thing to do. So never do that. Rasulullah ﷺ, and the dalil of this was from the Sunnah also, Nabi ﷺ sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu as a qadi and as a governor of Yemen. And he taught him how to do da'wah. He said to him, you are going to a people of the book, because the Yemenis were Christians. So this is specific advice to that, as well as for da'wah to anybody else. Nabi ﷺ said, you are going to a Christian people, you are going to a people of the book. He said, present to them Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. He said, if they accept that, remember he didn't say, call out their leaders, their bishops in public and humiliate them and own them on stage and, you know, none of that. He said, present to them Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, which is directly against their Aqeedah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say to them, go and tell them that their Aqeedah of saying Jesus is the Son of God or the Trinity and all of that is nonsense, is ridiculous, it is lies, it is falsehood. He didn't say any of that. He said, you present your argument. You go and present Tawheed to them. If they accept it, then show them Salah. Call them to Salah. And if they start praying, then take Zakat from them, from their rich, and give it to their poor. See this beautiful, beautiful advice. Inshallah, tomorrow I want to talk a little bit more about this advice, because it's really worth talking about in itself. But for today, I just want to leave this hadith with you with regard to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the advice he gave to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, where he said to them, you're going to a people of the book, present Islam to them, present Tawheed to them. If they accept it, call them to Salah. If they come to Salah, then take Zakat from their rich, from their wealthy, and give it to their poor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us wisdom to do da'wah in the best way possible. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearts of people that you go to before you reach them, to connect their hearts with Himself before you speak to them, and to turn them towards Himself before you have to even convince them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.